You know, when we come to Memorial Day and we think about all the food and the hot dogs and the hamburgers that and the money that's spent on all those things that we gorge ourselves with, we also must think about the sacrifice that it took to establish this country. From the Revolutionary War that began the establishment of the country until we come to the Civil War in the 1800s that gave freedom and equality to all people. Because all men are created equal, amen? And God shows no partiality. And in the middle of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln came to Gettysburg and he gave this speech. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It's altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Abraham Lincoln, November 19th, 1863. Let us bow in a moment of silence for those that gave the ultimate sacrifice, their life, to make and to keep this country free. Father, we come before you today, and we just humbly say, thank you, God, for being a God of freedom, for being a God of love. You gave the ultimate sacrifice. You gave your Son for us so that we could be free from sin and the penalty of death. Father, may we never, never, ever forget the sacrifice that it took for those who began this nation, who established it, and fought so hard for the freedom of all people. Lord, we are a country full of immigrants. From the foundation, we have all come from other countries. But, Lord, now we have established a great nation and a great country. And it stands for freedom. It stands for justice. It stands for so many things, Lord. But it's all under you. This nation was established under you, God. We love you, Lord, and may we never forget the ultimate sacrifice that it took to make this nation free. The blood that has been shed so that we, Lord, can live however we want in this free democracy, this republic that has been established. We love you, Father, and may we never forget you and the ultimate sacrifice you gave as we remember those that gave their lives for this country. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said before, Memorial Day is a day where we remember those that gave their lives. But it's so important to remember at the same time those that could have given their lives. Any person that raises their right hand and they do the oath to defend this country and the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and to ultimately give your life if that's the case. And we have gone through so many wars, from the Revolutionary War to the Civil War to World War I to World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Iraq. America has shed a lot of blood all around the world, and even here at home. And so we want to thank those that have served in our military service. And so we're going to play the U.S. Armed Forces medley. And when your branch of service comes, would you please stand so that we could recognize you? The United States Army. United States Navy. United States Coast Guard. United States Air Force. United States Marine. Another hand for our veterans. We're so thankful for them. You know, one of the most saddest things that can happen to a person is to come down with Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's is one of the worst forms of dementia, and it's most common, but over time, you begin to lose your memory, and it starts with short-term memory, and then it goes all the way back until you've lost all your childhood memories. And you begin to lose the simplest things of just being able to breathe or swallow, and sometimes it goes down the wrong pipe, and folks get food and drink into their lungs, and they get infection or pneumonia, and eventually death. You know, that same thing holds true with a nation that forgets where it came from. And the foundation of this nation, the sacrifice that was made so that we could be free. And if any of you have ever studied those, I believe it was 56 members that signed the, what is it?
57.
Thank you for the correction. 57 members. You ever find out whatever happened to them after that? Most of them were killed, died penniless, some in prison, some had nothing, some were taken over by other people. It's amazing that these people fought to make this free nation and they didn't get to enjoy it. But it's a thing that needs to be continually fought for. You cannot forget what happened in the beginning of this country. When you do, you'll begin to lose everything. You know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt said this. He said, "Those who have long enjoyed such privileges as we enjoy forget in time that men have died to win them." Don't forget the freedoms of having a Memorial Day with cookouts and family and all those wonderful things. That day was given because somebody gave his life to keep this country free. Or to establish this country to be free. Don't go through life with these privileges that we've been given, the freedoms that we have in this country, without remembering the sacrifice that it took to get us here. This Memorial Day is about remembering those who gave everything so that we could be and continue to be free. If something is worth sacrificing everything to establish, then it's also worth most definitely defending. Amen?
Amen?
That's why we have military, to defend this wonderful country. That's why we have the military, to defend the freedoms that we have. And that's why we establish walls. You know what walls are for? Charlie Kirk says, walls are the separation line from where bad ideas stop and good ideas begin. Amen?
Amen.
Stop and think about that. Why do we have walls on prisons? It's to keep the bad ideologies in from getting out into the good ideologies. Amen? The Great Wall of China was established to keep the Mongols from the north and nomadic tribes from coming down and overtaking China. Look at North and South Korea. To protect good ideologies, walls were necessary. Matter of fact, East and West Germany. And even Jerusalem. Matter of fact, God called the Jews to establish a wall around Jerusalem. It was to protect the ideas that God had established from the beginning. And after being destroyed by the Babylonian Empire, God called Nehemiah to come back and reestablish those walls. You know, even the eternal kingdom, when we get there, is going to have walls. Do you know God's kingdom is going to have walls? It's going to have gates. It's going to... But listen to this. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 25 through 27, John writes this. "Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night. And there shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it." So all the nations, their honor and glory is going to come in to God's kingdom. "But there shall be by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." You know, even in the eternal kingdom, there's going to be gates and walls. But they're going to be wide open. Because at that point, in the eternal kingdom, there's going to be no need. Because all the bad ideologies, God is going to destroy.
Amen.
And it's only going to be the good ideologies that's going to last. I'm so glad. I hope that you're going to be part of that kingdom. And I say all that to say this. Because America was built on values. And if it was built on values, then it's worth protecting. Amen? It's worth defending. Amen? And so among those were justice, freedom, equality, democracy, compassion, maybe some of the most important that we have. And you know, since the founding of this nation, since America was built, those values are worth protecting, but they're under attack. America used to be a place where we could be proud to be an American, proud to wave your flag, proud to stand up for freedom, because that's what it meant. That's what it meant to be an American, was freedom and justice. And this was the greatest nation in the world. Matter of fact, in 1782, Charles Thompson, who was the secretary of the Continental Congress at the time, when he was coming up with the Great Seal, and it looked pretty close to that, a little different. Of course, it was hand drawings of the original ones. But this is the final one of the Great Seal of the United States. And the symbolism became this in 1782. The white signified purity and innocence. The blue was hardiness and valor. And of course, the red was vigilance, perseverance, and justice. And from that day forward, the meaning kind of stuck. And it actually was applied both to the Great Seal and to the United States flag. Lee Greenwood, he sang, "I'm proud to be an American." Amen? And then he goes on to say, the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. Well, they are. They are. And I only say that because we played the old rugged flag, and, you know, I'm mighty proud of the American flag. And when I took my oath, I would have been willing to die under it. Amen? And a lot of you as well. And it's kind of sad that we've come to an age where it used to be illegal to burn our flag. Did you know that? It sure did. Because that flag stood for something of the values of America. But not anymore. In 1989, Texas versus Johnson, the Supreme Court reversed that decision. He burned a flag at a protest against, I think, Ronald Reagan at that time. And the Supreme Court said that it was a form of free speech that was protected by the First Amendment. So from that moment forward, burning the flag no longer became illegal. It was a form of freedom of speech. And since that time, they've tried judicially and legislatively and all that stuff to make burning the flag illegal to no avail. No one wants to make it illegal anymore. It's kind of like freedom. When you lose freedom, you'll never get it back. Amen? Some of the things that were established from the beginning that are important, ideologies, we're losing them, and we'll never get them back. You know, George W. Bush said this in 1989. He said, "My friends, we are not the sum of our possessions. They are not the measure of our lives. In our hearts, we know what matters. We cannot hope only to leave our children a bigger car or a bigger bank account." He said, we must hope to give them a sense of what it means to be a loyal friend, a loving parent, a citizen who leaves his home, his neighborhood, and his town better than he found it. What values? What values? We need to fight for those values. We need to fight for our freedoms, or one day they'll be gone. According to Sir John Glubb, who was a British author and lecturer back in the 1930s, and his famous essay, The Fate of Empires and the Search for Survival, looked at the lifespan of empires and their origins to their time that they declined or were destroyed. And he said that most empires last 250 years. And it's amazing, and some shorter than that. On July 4th, 1776, or if you believe July 2nd, that's actually when that was signed and put into practice, but it wasn't told until the 4th. So, but on July 4th, that's what we celebrate, 1776, we declared our independence. How long ago was that? Where's my mathematicians? 245 years. So if an empire lasts 250 years and it's been 245 since our inception, we might be in for a world of hurt. And I think we're seeing that in our culture and our land today. Ronald Reagan said this back in the 80s. He said, if we lose freedom here, there's no other place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. You know, when those revolutionary people left Great Britain, they came to a land, they came someplace where they could escape to. When the people of Cuba left, they had some place to come to. When Venezuela went down, they had some place to come to. But if we lose America here, what country do we go to? Where do we go to? If we lose freedom here, there's no other place we can escape. See, you can destroy a nation by destroying the home. And this is the biggest point. This is where Adolf Hitler got to. The nation is through the young children. If he could corrupt the children, he could destroy the society. Because children were turning in mom and dad back in those days. Could you imagine that? Your children turning you in? Sad. But they did. And that's how he got to him. He got to him through the children. We're losing our values in our nation because we're losing the home. You know, years ago, and I'm not that old. I won't say as old as other folks, but I can remember not working the weekends. How many remember not working the weekends? How many remember having to get everything in on Friday because everything was closed Saturday and Sunday? Do you remember that? Those were the days. And you know what? I had more free time then than I do now. Nothing was open. Nothing was... You enjoyed family on the weekends. Amen? Amen. That was family time because nothing was open. Now we've literally put ourselves into every aspect of life that is so fast-paced. And we always have to have something that makes gives us more time, right? I remember my grandpa Zediker, he used to give me the hand drill. Put it right there on your shoulder and you just crank that baby up. That's how you drilled through wood. I'd say, don't you have an electric one, Grandpa? And he's like, yeah, but I ain't wasting my electricity. Do it by hand. Okay. My arm's hurting. So then you get electric drills. Now we got cordless drills. Man, you don't even need to have electricity. We have so many things. Fast food, fast internet. And we have so little time to do anything with. So little time to do nothing. We're so fast-paced. You know, back in the days of the foundations of this country, do you know everybody was on the same page? They had what was called the New England Primer. And they taught and they educated their kids by the same book. Actually, it was from the Bible. It had Bible verses, Bible words, and you went through A to Z, and it picked out words from the Bible, and they put them in sentences, and that's how you learned. And a lot of times, it was the parents that had to train up their kids. Because here's the idea. If you're not training your child up, then what's training them? Amen? Amen. I mean, because if you're not going to train your kids up in home, why do you expect the schools to do a better job than you could? No offense to the school teachers. You guys do a fantastic job, and I'm not taking away from that. But here's the idea. Colleges and school systems teach an ideology that's biased. Amen? Where can you get equality? Where can you have the freedom to teach your children? It's in the home. To let somebody else, I don't say brainwash, but to train up in one way. So we as Christians, do you believe evolution is true? Do you? But it's taught in school systems. So my question to you, that's what they do. My question to you is this. Do you train them up at home to refute that? Because if you're not teaching them values and ideologies, if you're not teaching them what's right and wrong, if you're not teaching them the truth, then what are they learning? It all starts in the home. And when you destroy the home, you'll destroy a society and you'll destroy a nation. We need to get back to the home. Kids, ask your parents questions. Flood them with questions. You need to ask them as many questions as you can. And parents, if you don't know the answer, look it up. We have an age of information that'll give you the truth. You can find the answer. You can find the truth. You know, back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, God told the people that this is how the kids were to learn. He said, you shall teach your children diligently, You shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. These kids should know the truth about God. They should know the truth about the world. Their worldview should be wrapped around God. Because if God created the world, then everything revolves around what happened afterward. Amen? And everything that we see around us is because of that. We need to get back to the home. We need to get back of teaching our kids principles and values from the home. That's where it started. That's where it continues to be. And if we lose that strength of teaching, we'll lose our nation. Ronald Reagan said this. He said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We don't pass it on in the bloodstream. It must be fought for. It must be protected, and it must be handed on for them to do the same. Or one day, we're going to spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States when men were free." If we let freedom slip away, we won't be the same country we were established with 245 years ago. You know, if a bird doesn't have wings, doesn't have feathers, and it can't fly, it's not a bird anymore. Amen? One day, we won't have to fight no more. One day, we won't have no more weapons. Matter of fact, we'll turn our weapons into farming equipment. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, God says this. He's going to judge between the nations. He's going to rebuke many people. And they're going to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. That's just farming stuff. "And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." There's going to come a day when wars will be done. Nations aren't going to fight against nations. We'll all be one people under God. We'll all be the same, have the same values. The gates will be open and the walls will be there, but we'll be able to get in and out as we please because all the ideologies will be the same. But until that day happens, see, that is one day. But there will come a day when that happens. But that day is not today. Until that day comes, we still need to fight for freedom. Never forget the sacrifice that men and women have made so that we can live free. But most importantly, never forget, this is where it starts. Never forget the ultimate sacrifice Jesus Christ made on the cross. In John 15:13, he said this, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." Not only does that apply to our Memorial Day address for those that have given the ultimate sacrifice, but ultimately it lands on Jesus Christ. He came and died so that we could live. And anyone that places their trust in what he did on the cross at Calvary will live. Have your sins forgiven, the penalty will be paid, and you'll have heaven and eternal life. Amen. That's the biggest struggle we have in this life is sin and death. You know, death is going to come to call upon everyone. Paul says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." And because we're all sinners, Paul said in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." One day death is going to come to call upon us. But the one that sacrificed everything so that we could have heaven and eternal life, so that we can live, Jesus died so that we could live. Have you ever placed your trust in him? That's where freedom truly starts. Jesus said in John 8:31, "To those that believed in him, when you come to the truth will set you free." Are you free? Or do you still live in bondage? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord. We want to honor and magnify your name today, God, and just thank you for giving us brave men and women to allow us to be a free nation. Lord, may we never forget that, and may we fight for the freedoms that you have given to us. Father, we love you, God, and we just say we're so thankful for those that give all, but we need to come to the ultimate sacrifice that you gave your son. You gave everything for your son, for us. He shed his blood and he died so that we could live. And Father, I pray that if there's someone here this morning, maybe they've never trusted in what Jesus did. Maybe they've never placed their trust in the sacrifice he did on the cross at Calvary. Let today be the day of salvation. Let them come to the saving knowledge of your son. Let them be set free, so that they can defend the values and the freedoms that we have in this country, that was established on your principles. Everything was established on biblical views and your values. And Lord, we love you, and we just thank you for this day, and may we never forget the ultimate sacrifice that it took. We give you this invitation, Father, and we just pray that you would have your way, and may you just be glorified, and we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.